Hello, I'm Kitty Squires for WGLY Radio. The date is June 5th, 1943, and this is Keeping Your Husband. Today's topic, 5 tips for keeping the peace. Number 1, preparation is everything. When making your husband's morning coffee, consider adding a nice nip of brandy. Not only does it help your husband relax, it also sets him up nicely for the half dozen martinis he'll be having at his business lunch. Number 2, remember, your most important job is to build up and maintain your husband's ego. You may have been your class valedictorian at MIT, but your husband is a man, and he must always feel like one. After all, without his ejaculate, how else will you give him the children he needs to justify your continued presence in his house? Number 3. Don't complain if he's late for dinner, or even if he stays out all night. Count this as minor compared to the stress he endures every day. Why, only 2 nights ago, my husband got lost on the way home from work and ended up driving for hundreds of miles. When he reappeared the next morning, his clothes were rumpled and stained and he smelled of baked clams. Apparently, he had fallen asleep at the wheel and driven into a dumpster full of lipsticks. Poor dear, how could anyone be angry with him after such an ordeal? Number 4. Sometimes husbands must reprimand us. Now, technically, it's been illegal for one to beat one's wife for the last 23 years. But it's important to realize that filing a police report over a small domestic scuffle may prompt your husband to desert you, causing you to lose your home, your money, and your good reputation. So try to be understanding when your man needs to blow off a little steam. In fact, you can use any bruises you acquire as an excuse to have the Avon lady over for a brand new tube of concealer. Won't that be nice? Lastly, number 5 is about how you express yourself. You may be wondering, Kitty, why do you sound so funny when you talk? Well, any good wife knows that it's important to always remain scintillating to our men. By speaking with round vowels while holding my mouth taut, my husband can easily imagine his dick in it. Well, that's all for now. I'm Kitty Squires. This has been Keeping Your Husband, and I certainly hope you can.
Yeah! All right, let's do it. Oh,
suck it.
Come on, everyone. Let's go join the fun in Mr. Wakely's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden. It's not far to go. We'll enjoy the show in Mr. Wakely's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden. Come on and come all. We'll grab you by the balls in Mr. Wakely's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden.
Sam, Rebecca, come on in. I want to show you guys my new pet bird.
Job, I don't think I've ever been in your room before.
What kind of bird did you get?
A dodo bird.
Funny. What did you actually get?
I just told you, Rebecca, I got a dodo bird.
Dude, dodo birds have been extinct for like 400 years.
Here he is.
Holy shit!
No way.
Wow, I didn't know you guys were so into birds.
Why do you... What the fuck?
Well, I saw it in Ice Age, and I thought they were funny, so I went and got one.
Where do you get a dodo bird?
The store? Guys, I'm kidding. They were out of stock. My mom just gave me her old one.
Your mom had one?
Yes, Sam, her old one. It's a family heirloom. Her great-grandfather caught it for her when she was a kid.
Her great-grandfather was alive 400 years ago? Damn, y'all must have some good genes.
My great-great-grandpas aren't better than anyone else's.
Aren't? Like, present tense?
Job, how old are you?
20.
Okay, hang on. We can figure this out. How old is your mom?
So now we're laughing at my mom's age now.
What?
Well, yo mama has bad teeth and a crooked spine.
Hey, come on, man.
It's not that weird to have older parents. Mine just happened to be a few centuries older than everyone else's.
You say a few centuries older?
You guys can make fun of me, but my parents are old. I think my mom's at least 2 millennia.
She doesn't look a day over 1650.
So you're all immortal?
Okay, yes. And I didn't tell you guys because once everyone knows that my parents and my older sister have bathed in the crystal pool of eternal darkness, then they all start to ask why I haven't done it.
You have an older sister?
Yeah, she's in kindergarten.
That checks out. Cool, cool, cool.
I have so many questions. So many whys? So many hows?
Are you gonna eat our souls?
Oh, God. Are you a vampire? I feel like there was a reason you didn't like my chocolate garlic souffle.
Actually, I can vouch for Job on that one. It's fucking disgusting.
This is exactly why I didn't want to tell you guys. I just wanted to show you my new bird.
How did we forget there's a dodo bird right there?
Yeah, I can't believe we're just swept under the rug. Look, we're sorry we reacted the way we did. We're just not used to your family's quirks. Friends.
Friends.
Now, let's go back to my house. My mom's making poached unicorn.
Heck yeah!
What the
WGLY.
So we gotta do something. That's the fourth dame I've talked to in the last 22 minutes. There's a lot of confusion out there.
You got that right, Charlie.
I'm gonna put together a statement before tomorrow's issue goes to press. We gotta clear things up.
Have you gone completely bananas? This War of the Worlds radio program is the best thing to happen to the New York Times since the Dust Bowl.
Look, Jack, a few of these birds were in a real panic. We gotta tell them this broadcast is just a fantasy piece pulled straight out of H.G. Wells' Keyser. If you want readers so bad, you can't let them go on believing the world is being invaded by aliens.
Oh, I want readers, Charlie. I want readers real bad, but I want something else even more.
Yes, but we can only get that Pulitzer if the stories we print are true.
Screw that hack Pulitzer. I don't care about that. Look, Chuck, have you seen our numbers lately? This week alone, we've lost 10 ad campaigns to those dumb blimps at the radio. Newspaper is taking a major nosedive, just like those stock market fat cats off the Empire State Building. This War of the World scandal is exactly what we need to get those drips off the air and win our advertisers back.
Excuse me, sirs. I've got a Richard Fowler from Albany on line 3. His wife is quite frightened about the War of the Worlds radio broadcast. She wants to know about the huge metal cylinders they say are falling out of the sky in Jersey right now. What shall I tell him?
Nancy, tell him to tell his wife there's nothing to worry about. It's a fictitious script meant solely for the purpose of entertaining the listeners.
Not so fast, Charlie. Nancy, I want you to tell Mr. Fowler that he and his wife are safe, for now. But we've never seen another news source cause a hysteria quite like this.
A hysteria? I'm not sure I would call a couple dozen inquiry calls a hysteria. It's more of a curiosity, I should say.
Nancy, if you want our newspaper to survive this depression, you can call this radio shim-sham a hysteria. Tell them the nitwits at Columbia Broadcasting System are making fools of all of us. Say the streets of Manhattan are teeming with thousands of panicked citizens seeking shelter. And tell them they're all wearing aluminum hats to keep the aliens from invading their thoughts.
Jack, you're certifiable. I'm looking down at Times Square right now and I see nothing of the sort.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable lying to these nice people, Mr. Wallace.
Well, you're going to have to get over that if you want to make it in this business, Toots. Tell them there's a hysteria. Columbia Broadcasting has driven people to the brink of insanity with worry. Frightened mobs are trampling through the storefronts to loot. People are skinning their cats and filling their bathtubs with hot cereal. And their evil radio is to blame.
This is wacko, Jack.
Most importantly, Nancy, you tell them their best chance to stay up to date on survival tips is for them to stick with the only news source they can trust. The good guys here at the New York Times.
But, sir, what about the small fraction of people who actually believe this radio broadcast is real life right now? What if they do something stupid?
Well, then it's Darwin for you, isn't it, kid? Listen, we've got one sexy story on our hands, and I'm not going to let it go. I got everything. Drama, panic, deception, and the most marketable thing of all.
Aliens?
No, you old nincompoop. Fear. The good people of America eat it up like mock apple pie. They can't get enough of it.
Well, I do hate to see people worry unnecessarily, but I suppose if that's what the people want...
Of course they do!
And how do you propose we sustain all this fear once our readers figure out the broadcast and the hysterical mobs are all made up?
Well, fortunately for us, we've got a Second World War brewing. There'll be endless material. If we can make our stories even more alarming than that alien invasion song and dance, we'll have no trouble getting our advertisers back by the next quarter.
You want a sexy up an impending war?
You bet your bucket I do. And if we're lucky, this war will have everything. Torture, starvation, rape, genocide, you name it. Our readers will be chucking pennies at us by the fistfuls to get their little mitts on our papers. In fact, if the war is bad enough, well, I bet we might finally actually land that PepsiCo campaign.
Listen, Jack, this is all making me uneasy. I'm not so sure I should continue writing for the Times.
You want to turn your back on your own people? We're in the news, Chuck. We'll tell people what they need to know.
I've always believed that people need to know the truth.
What do you know, you old cow? I've been in this business for 40 years. People don't need the truth. They need entertainment. The radio show about the aliens might have been a solid piece of experimental art, but two can play at that game. If the truth isn't exciting enough, it's our job to throw a crazy dress on it, rouge its nipples, and make it exciting.
It's reckless, I tell you, and dangerous.
Oh, don't be dramatic. I've been around a long time, and I know what's dangerous and what's not. We need the news to stay connected and to keep our brains sharp, just like we need to beat our children to help them learn, or how we need amphetamine tablets to stay peppy after lunch, or cigarettes to cure our asthma, or whiskey to rub on our baby's gums when they cut their first teeth, or morphine cough syrup to help our children sleep through the night, or teaching our children that all homosexuals are pedophiles, or the fact that I like to rub my...
Mr. Wiggly's moist and happy friendship garden.
Hi everyone, welcome back to my ASMR podcast. My name is Jasmine Sumner, and I'm pretty excited today. We have a special guest. He is my boyfriend of 7 months. It is Toby Katzman. Say hi, Toby.
Hi, everyone.
Toby's here because he has decided to share with us some of his favorite curated sounds. But to begin with, I'd love to start off with just showing you some of my best, most favorite sound effects for ASMR. Again, if you're not familiar with ASMR, this is just to help you relax and fall asleep at night, something to help you, you know, zone out, maybe block out some of that stress in the world. So for my first sound, this is going to be just a simple comb. Don't you just love that? It's like a, almost sounds like the legs of a cricket on a wet lily pad.
I can feel the tension in my joints releasing.
I know you can, Toby. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One of my favorites. Really, really good stuff. For my second sound, you guys know I have a sweet tooth, and I've always found the sound of candy wrappers incredibly relaxing. If you're like me, you like to snack on some candy right before you go to bed. So just the sound of this candy bar. Isn't that great? Just lull you to sleep. You can almost taste that chocolate melting in your mouth.
My whole body is tingling.
I bet it is, Toby. I love hearing that. For my last one, you know, rain or shine, no matter what the weather actually is, when you're joining me on my ASMR channel, you can hear rain anytime. One of my favorite sounds, rushing water.
I feel that one right in my abdomen.
Same. You know, that's so funny. I do too. Right in the abdomen. Perhaps it's related to the chakras. Who knows?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, now that I've shared with you my favorite sounds, Toby, I'd love to invite you to share with us your curated samples.
Yeah. I'm actually studying to be an audio engineer. And so I really relished the opportunity to take some of my high definition recording equipment out into the field. And so I was able to curate some of my favorite sounds throughout the week. And we'll begin with one that really helps me relax whenever I'm just feeling a little anxious or stressed. This is the sound of a Chicago construction site right around lunchtime. And I positioned my microphone right by the porta potties to really capture a lot of the natural sounds that exist in the construction site setting. So I'll go ahead and cue up the clip now. So, as you can see...
Toby?
Yeah?
Yeah, that's not relaxing. I feel like you're not getting... You've listened to my show before, haven't you, Toby? Come on.
Sure I have. Okay. Lots of times.
You realize this is supposed to be relaxing, right? We talked about this.
Yeah, I guess different...
That was not relaxing.
Different strokes for different folks.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Nobody would listen to that and like that. That is ridiculous.
I have others.
Is it going to be farting again? I don't want to hear that.
No. I did hear a little bit of fart in that last one. That was not intentional. I think it was just
captured in the background. But I do have another audio curation.
Okay. All right, go ahead and play it.
Okay, great. So as you know, we are in the beginnings of winter time, a very peaceful time in this part of the Midwest. And so for this one, this is a winter's night inside my bedroom. And I simply held up the microphone to my bedroom wall and recorded my parents, who are going through a very messy divorce. I'll go ahead and load up a clip now.
It's always my fault, isn't it?
All I'm saying is if you're gonna take a shit in the bathroom, at least light a match.
You know,
Gee, it smells like the fucking dog died in there.
I can take a shit in my own bathroom.
Yeah, but I wish you would have the common
sense. You know what?
I bought the poopery for a reason.
Yeah, that's not Toby, I swear to God. It's like you don't even care about my art. Like, this is, I'm really serious about this right now, and I feel like you're making fun of it, and I don't appreciate it at all.
I
can't believe I let you do anal. Jesus Christ.
I'm so sorry. I felt goosebumps the first time.
What?
I observed.
Why? That's upsetting, dude. Like, your parents are getting divorced for real? Like, you didn't even tell me that.
It's a very messy divorce, yeah. I thought I might share it with you in the form of an audio recording.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all, and I feel like you're making fun of me, but, you know, it...
I'm new at this.
Yeah, you sure are.
Trying my best. I do have one more sample.
Do I want to hear this? I feel like I don't want to hear this. Do you realize how many followers I have? I have 19 subscribers, okay?
And I was 19. Hoping that maybe your subscribers would enjoy some of the audio samples that I have curated.
I really don't think so, but you know what?
Could I just play one more?
Sure. Whatever. Fine.
Over the summer, I was able to spend some time with some cousins of mine who live in Texarkana. They identify as Juggalos, and we had the wonderful opportunity to spend an afternoon with a wood chipper, and my cousin Merle had an entire tank full of exotic fish. And so we just decided to, one by one, listen to the different noises that the fish made when they entered into a wood chipper. I'll go ahead and cue up the audio curation for you.
I see he's the rice, baby!
Okay, that was actually pretty hot. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you.
Wow. You want to get out of here?
I do, yeah.
All right, this has been my ASMR podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'll go see you later. Bye.
Enjoy.
It was a dark and rainy night, I begged her not to go. Was she wrong or was I right? I guess I'll never know. I'll always know just where she is, but never how or why. My baby's in that malt shop in the sky. The Chevy felt so heavy, the road so slick and wet, that I forgot to fix the brakes, I will always regret. The road went left, the car went right, a Chevy cannot fly. My baby's in that malt shop in the sky. But who could know the really big surprise? The crash was seen by unexpected eyes.
It was space creatures from outer space!
Space creatures from outer space. Space creatures from outer space. Space creatures from outer space. They're taking our women back to their place.
They got 10 eyes. guys that got 12 arms. Earth girls can't resist their charms.
Space creatures from outer space. Space creatures from outer space. Space creatures from outer space. They never lie, but they are two-faced.
I love Earth women. I haven't had this much fun since I was orbiting Uranus.
They pick up chicks to take to Mars in souped-up hot rod spaceship cars.
Space creatures from outer space. Space creatures from outer space. Space creatures from outer space. Never dare them to a drag race.
Make them do the octopus.
Why don't you get three friends? Stand face to face. Wiggle your arms all over the place.
Do the octopus.
It's really great.
Do the octopus.
Don't be late.
Do the octopus.
To the power of eight.
Saturday mornings on WGLY are a rainbow of fun and adventure with Professor Phineas T. Jackson, Time Traveler. Join the professor along with companions Johnny, Jesse, and Spotty the dog as they sing, dance, and learn throughout history in the Deus Ex Machina. Come aboard for the ride.
Hopping hand grenades, Professor! Where are we going in the Deus Ex Machina today?
Well, Johnny, we're going to the Old West. Jesse has a report due on how settlers made a living back in the 19th century, and we're going to see how they used simple tools you can find in your own home to mine silver. Remember our motto?
Seeing is learning!
Wow! I always wanted to meet Wild Bill Hiccup.
That's Hickok, Johnny. But be careful. There were some colorful characters in the Old West. They might win your hard-earned allowance in a card game.
Boy, wouldn't that be an adventure? But I'm not worried, Professor. We've got good old Spotty with us.
And an AR-15.
That's right, Jesse. You're from Texas, aren't you?
Rooters, tooters, I sure am. But seriously, if anyone fucks with us, I might need to shoot a bitch.
Well, that's good enough for me. Everyone into the Deus Ex Machina. Well, everyone, we're here. Keep your eyes open and be ready for learning.
Leap dropping landmines, Professor. What a ride!
Rooter tooters, I'll say that was some fucked up shit.
I agree, that was a bit rough, but we finally made it here. Silver Junction, Colorado, 1869, the Old West. Let's witness the magic of history come to life.
Wow!
Why, here's a local saloon. Perfect. We can get some information and whet our whistles with a cold drink.
Well, howdy, barkeep.
What? How did you know my name?
I'm sorry?
Barkeep. My name's Frank Barkeep. Not that that's any of your business.
No offense, Mr. Barkeep. We're just looking to get a drink and some information. Because we're all thirsty for learning. Do you serve miners?
Miners are all we've got here, pal. Where are your pickaxes?
Oh, you thought I meant miners. No, what I meant was...
Well, never you mind, as long as you've got the money to pay for it.
Oh, we do. We have...
And you're not black, or Mexican, or a dirty Chinaman. I hate them. Or Jewish, Irish, Polish, Italian, Russian, Lithuanian, Inuit, French, Canadian, French-Canadian, Aztec, Olmec, Prussian, Austrian, Hindu, Muslim, or Catholic. Otherwise, you're fine. No, dog's good. You're cool. Now, what do you want to drink?
Strawberry spittoons. The professor said sarsaparilla was the most popular drink in the Old West.
Kid, we got two drinks here. Washtub gin and formaldehyde. Which one do you want? We can't have both. Around here, we don't mix our drinks or our races.
Kids, this is not exactly like the movies, it seems. Perhaps we should go.
Where are you folks rushing off to?
My goodness, madam. You seem to have lost the buttons from your shirt.
Professor, I'm starting to get a funny feeling in the body parts we're not allowed to talk about. Is this learning?
Kind of. You're still a bit young for this kind of, learning.
Holy crap, what a pair of rooter tooters!
Are you our waitress?
Almost. I'm a whore. I can either give you a drink or syphilis. Your call.
Yep. Betty's one of the best, and I got the cankerous sores to prove it.
Professor, I don't think I like the Old West.
Rooter tooters, I know we'd normally sing a song about what we've learned at this point, but seriously, fuck that shit.
I agree, kids. This is not what I expected. Let's get back to the Deus Ex Machina.
Hey, does the girl want a job? I mean, she's kind of old, but she can make some good money.
Gosh, thanks for the offer. But we really must run. When I give the signal, cut left past that man defecating in the corner and run straight to the Machina.
Hey, how much do you want for the dog? I ain't had meat in almost a month.
Go, kids! Run! Kids, what did we, learn?
The history isn't at all like it seems in the movies or history books.
Yeah, it's all kinds of fucked up.
Don't you mean rooters, tooters? It's all kind of fucked up.
Shut it, dickweed.
Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden was written and performed by Roland Petruni, Keith Hernandez, Taylor Koch, Mike Opilarovich, Garrett Olson, Emily Ramirez, and Alan Morgan. Music by Osmium, John Wall, Dave Waterbury, and Alan Morgan. Mr. Wiggly's Moist and Happy Friendship Garden is a production of Memoriam Development.
WGLY.
Yo, hot dog!
Stupid French Canadians.
Stupid bastards.
Always talking about their wee wees and whatnot.
Fucking Arcade Fire and all
what
that
the
shit.
Fuck is that? Fancy fucking videos.
God damn it.
Hey, true believers, it's Dr. David Hickney. That's right, I'm a legit PhD.
Anyway, there's still a butt ton of truth out there, so we're coming back for season 3. It starts February 28th, 2020. 2020 is a leap year, so February has a 29th day. We don't dare post on that day because, as you know, leap day is the Spode's once quadrennial laundry day. It gets messy. Anywho, Freak of the Week season 3, February 28th. Elizabeth will be there too.
Oh, hey there, Count Panic. I got a question for you.
What's that, Bob?
What do you know about Mothman, the Loch Ness Monster, ghosts, demons, and things that go bump in the night?
Not much, Bob.
Well, lucky for you, we host a podcast called Bob After Dark, where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural.
Wow, where can I find this podcast?
Wherever you find your great podcasts at.
Welcome to Ghostly.
What are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.